it's that high that I get when my clients get featured in a media outlet.
Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 90, Be Ready, with Sharon Devonish Lead. Techie community, welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me here for episode number 90, Be Ready with Sharon Devonish Lead. Happy New Year. Happy, happy New Year. I hope you all enjoyed a wonderfully fun and safe New Year's Eve celebration, and I hope you're all just as excited as I am to kick off 2021. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share so other entrepreneurs can find the show as well. This week, I had an opportunity to sit down with Sharon Devonish Lead. She's been in the public relations industry for over 20 years. After 18 years of dedicated service, Sharon was laid off from her position with the City of New York. Prompting immediate action, Sharon reintroduced herself as an independent publicist and launched her public relations firm, Netstruck PR, in April of 2015. Through trials, tribulations, pains, and wanting to give up, Sharon finally found success in providing the unexpected to the underserved. With a passion for helping clients become featured stories in the media, Sharon has shifted her attention to entrepreneurs and small businesses lacking media coverage. Netstruck PR helps clients establish themselves as experts, generate awareness, increase prospects, and grow their profits. Sharon's extensive experience working for the City of New York has allowed her to cultivate connections with influencers and implement techniques such as community engagement to provide clients with next-level professional service on a global scale. Listen in as Sharon shares stories of how she once thought she would become an attorney. In the midst of her plan, a mentor's recognition of Sharon's true talent and an offer of a higher paying position sparked a pivot in her journey, inspiring a whole new future. Sharon, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Lori. I appreciate the invite.
Certainly. We are super excited about this episode here. I was having an absolutely awesome conversation with you a moment ago before we actually started the recording, and I am totally looking forward to continuing this call. So
yes, thank you. It is fun.
Before we actually dive into your story and your PR firm, before we go into your background, I want to rewind the clock. I want to go way back, way, way back. Think about when you were in high school. I want you to tell me what you thought life would look like. What did you think long before you began branding yourself, building out a business, thinking about public relations in any way, shape, or form? When an older, say an aunt or an uncle would come to you and ask you what it is you're planning to do in life, what did you think life was going to look like?
Well, first, I was going to be a lawyer. I was going to be a criminal justice attorney working in the Brooklyn DA's. So I had it all packed out. My mom worked at the DA's office and she got me an internship there. So I was like, oh, I'm going to be a criminal attorney. I knew judges. I knew, you know, that was my circle. And they would just be like, you'll be a great attorney. You know, they mentored me. It was that was my life. I was like, when I graduate, I'm going to go to John Jay College of Criminal Justice, which I did. And I'm going to go and take the LSAT. I'm going to still do my internship at the DA's office. And I'm going to go to St. John's Law School. And it went on for a little while. I'm not going to lie. It went on for a little while until my junior year in college. Where I was still going to be going into law and things like that. And then, no, it wasn't my junior year in college. It was my senior year in college. Life took on its own, you know, world. And I got pregnant, got married, bought a house, everything in 1 year.
Wow.
And graduated from college.
Wow.
In 1 year. So my thought process of, okay, where am I going to be in the next couple of years changed. From high school, I was still a paralegal. still looking to go to law, but things kind of had to move slowly because I had a family now and stuff like that. And, you know, went in the DA's office, left the DA's office, then went to the U.S. Attorney's office. So I still stayed in the, you know, I was still there. And then I went back to the DA's office. And someone came, I know, it was crazy. And one of the executives came to me and asked me if I wanted to work in the community relations, public relations department. Mm-hmm. And I said, what does that entail? I don't know what that means. Now I'm still young. I was like, I don't know what that means. And he was like, I think you would be really good at this. It's a people's person type of position. You got to talk about the programs of the office. You got to meet people. You got to create relationships. And you have that type of personality. He said, you just love helping people. I always see you helping and, you know, doing whatever. So I said, okay, sure. No problem. I said, is it more money? And he said, absolutely. I was like, you got me. I was like, can I still go to law school? Yeah. He was like, absolutely. We will still mentor you so you could go to law school. Well, long story short, my first year in community relations, public relations at the DA's office turned to being a very passionate thing that I love that I did not realize that it was my life, that I did not realize I was going to take this on to be a career and a passion, a love for me to just help people get information and just get to that next step. So I changed my thought process, changed my mindset, changed everything, and said that I was going to, you know, be an administrator in, you know, community engagement, public relations. And that was where it started at the DA's office. From then on, it Plymouth to a couple of other things, which you'll find out later on in the interview, but that's how I saw myself.
It doesn't really matter where you start, what your original thought process was, how much you invested in your initial dream or goal. There's never a wrong time to make that pivot. When you see that life has made a change, or you recognize that you want to make that change, that's the time to do it. There's no right or wrong.
And you know your timing.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know your timing. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Instinct. You got to follow your gut. You've now founded your own PR firm. But before we actually get into net structure and really talk about your firm, I want to know what it was that really motivated you when it came to the public relations, because despite the fact that he mentioned to you, okay, it's something that might work with your personality and it's a little bit more money, what was it for you that really signaled that it was the time to make the pivot for you?
Well, it was a couple of things. Community relations, that's my specialty for my public relations agency. And the reason why was because I was trained to have that eye for community engagement for a large corporation like a government office, mm-hmm. and see the importance of having that. When I started doing community relations, I had to deal with the press because I was doing events, I was doing all of these things. And when the press comes and when you see it was the look. Regardless, I worked for an elected official, and every time a media outlet came to one of the events that I put on for that office, it was always in a positive mode. Mm-hmm. He had this glow, like, yes, I got this. And I was like, oh, I like that. I like that. So anytime we had it, they had that S on their chest, and they have that S on their chest. I put my S on the chest because I was like, I did that. I was able to get that press outlet to be interested in what you are doing. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously it's different when you're working for an agency or a large company or a government agency, because press literally is running towards you. Mm-hmm. And so it was a complete different mindset, thought process, reintroduction. And I didn't leave on my own. I'll be honest with you. It was an election. DA that I worked for lost. The new DA came in. And he laid me off. Mm. But I was there for so long doing the same thing, loving it. I was like, I'm not going to go pitch for myself to go and do something different.
Yeah.
So start my own PR firm. And it took me about a year. Because I had to find myself. I was like, okay, I'm marketing my husband's IT company. And I was sitting there watching my husband's text remote into our client's computer fixing it. But I was sitting there talking to my clients about PR, marketing, what are they doing, to the point where one of our clients, I did a full grand opening, ribbon cutting with press, elected officials, citations, the works for free.
Wow.
For free. But I loved it. I loved it. He was on cloud nine. It's that high that I get when my clients get featured in a media outlet, just for them to tell their story. It's that high that I get because I know they were excited to tell this story to the masses of who's listening. So like I said, you know, going and I don't know if I answered your question, but it was just that excitement. Okay. It was that excitement that I got when it made me say, I can do this for my next life, for myself.
There's no motivation better than that. Okay. There's no motivation better than that. Yes, you did answer the question. Having that high of seeing your clients succeed is definitely a motivating factor for a lot of entrepreneurs. And is definitely, I can only imagine for you as you're watching your clients on TV or in a news article or something, how exciting that must be. So I can only imagine, you know, why you would have chosen to pursue and move forward on your own in that manner. What do you feel were some of the first steps you took when you decided, all right, you know what, I've been laid off and I'm not going to be doing this for the DA anymore. You set up that first event, you enjoyed doing it, you recognized that there was a passion for it. How did you now turn that over and what steps did you take to begin structuring it into your own PR firm?
Well, it was a lot of trial and error. I'm not even going to lie. It was a lot of trial and error. You know, I didn't go to school for public relations. You know, this literally was experience-wise and connections. And like I said, trial and error. I started taking courses. I started going to conferences, and just really learning how to put together an adequate PR campaign for a client. Now, you know, again, it was trial and error. I didn't even know what type of clientele I wanted. You know, did I want non-for-profit? Did I want small businesses? Did I want government? I did not know. So I kind of was like trying to take everything and realize that, you know, there's a niche. Mm-hmm. I have a niche. And what was my niche was small businesses and entrepreneurs. And I realized that a year later when I officially went into the official of launching NetStruck PR in April of 2015, that I was going to focus on small businesses and entrepreneurs. And it was, again, the workshops. It was the trial and error with the other clients and really just working out to see what did I like and what I didn't like. Putting that structure together, putting that campaign, putting those things in line that I needed to have that checkpoint. And again, that checkpoint adds on and deletes as we go along with each client, even to this day. It was that where I had to, one, the experience and realize what I wanted to do and how I really could be a benefit to a client with the skills that I had.
You had to fill it out and start really taking the steps to understand what worked for you, what felt right for you in your practice. Once you've made the decision to have a practice, you've got to create that plan that surrounds it to figure out what this practice is actually going to be. That's really a huge part of the journey, that trial and error period where we do go through those areas. Because much like myself and every other podcaster on the planet, there was no podcasting certification. Yes, there are definitely podcasters out there now who have developed courses on how to create a podcast. But prior to, there were no courses. And we all had those trial and error moments for ourselves.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
What do you feel were some of the most difficult pieces of that trial and error phase? What do you think helped you to move out of the trial and error phase into what is now your practice?
Well, I had to reintroduce myself. Media outlets knew me, but they knew me as Sharon Devenish Lee from the Brooklyn DA's office. And once I opened my mouth and I said that, you know, even with community relations, you know, I walked into a room, they saw the DA's office.
Right.
So now I had to reintroduce myself as, this is Sharon Lee, you know, CEO of NetStruck PR. And I had to show them that the same skill of what I had in the DA's office is the same skill that I have now. Mm-hmm. You were just looking at the office. Mm-hmm. So you take the office out of that, you still have the same person that's bringing, that's doing the work. And I had to show and prove that. Mm-hmm. And once I did, then it started, you know, materializing. And then it started becoming a little bit more easier. And, you know, the press started opening back up to me and said, oh yeah, Sharon, no problem. You know, mm-hmm. obviously the challenge was, another challenge was, because again, when you're working for a city agency that's elected official that is always in the press, to a business owner that has, you know, maybe an oils that she just created, or a hairdresser that is doing free haircuts to kids, stuff like that. I had to create the angle. And that's where the training and the courses and the conferences came in, because I didn't have to create angles working for the DA's office. Mm-hmm. I have to create angles now for clients, because it has to be something where it's newsworthy.
Right.
And a lot of people, a lot of small businesses are like, why would I be in the press? Like, it, right. what I do is not newsworthy. Who wants to know about that? And I have to change the mindset and let them know, no, listen, we can. We just got to do it this way. that's where the change, yeah.
That's awesome, yeah. Really finding the sweet spot for the story, the right angle that'll make it newsworthy. Tell us more about NetStruck PR, who it is that you work with, how it is you really help your clients.
Wow, so NetStruck PR is that full public relations community engagement agency that does a deep dive for clients to pull out their red apples, pull out their uniqueness, and allow them to tell their story and why they're doing their business to the press, media, clients. Because like I said, when we go into business, we go into it with our passion. Mm-hmm. And our passion is our story, yes. But when you're the outsider looking in, you're able to see those other things that you yourself can't see. And that's what I help with my clients. I pull those things out that you think is just regular or normal, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And we put that on paper, we create a messaging, we create a whole PR campaign, and then we identify what type of media outlets you would like to be featured in. Granted, I tell my clients, when I get them, they're like, oh, I want to be on Good Morning America and CNN and Bloomberg News. And I'm like, wait, hold up. You know, do you have any media coverage at all? Right. And they're like, no. Do you have a social, you know, do you have an online footprint? No, you know, I do a couple of posts here and there. And I'm like, well, we got to create a story of your business. And that's what we do. That's what we do at NetStruck PR. We create your story so others will see the value in it, see the credibility in it, see the expertise in it, so they can do business with you.
That's awesome. You really create that angle to engage the media that highlights who they are as a practice and as an entrepreneur. That is awesome. Why do you feel media is so important for small businesses? Why do you feel it's more important than, say, creating that digital footprint for themselves or building out their website? Why do you feel that media is such an important token and piece there for them?
Because it's longevity. Mm-hmm. It's long-term. Mm-hmm. When you tell a story, it's always there, whether it's print or whether it's digital, but you can always find it. That's one. Two, you're telling your story. You're telling something that you cannot put in an advertisement. Mm-hmm. So you may have this oil company for hair, and all you can really do is put, okay, you know, I have this oil company on an advertisement. I have this oil company, you know, it may be good for people who have, you know, eczema in their, on their scalp or anything to that extent. That's fine. People will see that. Okay. Yeah, I have eczema. But when you tell the story, when you get the interview, now you're going to say, listen, I actually had eczema and I needed to find something that would help for me or my kids. And I created this and it worked. Mm-hmm. That's longevity. That's long-term. That's impacting your listening audience. So they can say, I need to go try that. They're not going to get that feel from an advertisement. And yeah. Not to say I'm knocking advertisements, but when you tell your story and you give that example or you give a reason why you are doing this, and they either read or feel the passion in your words or your voice, people are going to resonate with it.
Definitely.
And they're going to say, Let me go to their website. let me, and then not on top of that, the credibility. Media does not do interviews with businesses or people unless they actually do their research. Mm-hmm. And if they do their research and they see that this company is legit, this company is doing what they're saying, what they're doing with their pitch, now your credibility is up there. And they're going to be more inclined to deal with you because of that credibility, because you were featured on the media. And then thousands and thousands of eyes are on you. Mm-hmm. Eyes that you would not see on your regular social media platform. If another person tells me, oh, I do media, I do Facebook Lives. If another person tells me that one more time, because your Facebook Live is with your network, it's not with outside network.
Right, exactly. It's only going to appear to your network, and it's not going to
exactly
be further. That's 100%.
Exactly.
There's an exponential opportunity to get your message out there when using media, but also, much like you said, it's also helping to vet your practice by using the media.
And absolutely,
they definitely do their research. Media outlets do their research before they have guests. If I myself, as an individual entrepreneur who is just promoting a podcast, I do research on my guests before I have my guests on the show. So if I'm doing research on my guests, you better believe the larger media outlets are doing research. And without the digital footprint behind you, I can only imagine how difficult it would be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just like what you said, with your platform, any media, mm-hmm. I don't knock any media. You know, clients say, oh, I want to be on this. You know, how many people are viewing it? Listen, do you have any media footprint at all? Like, be happy with what you are getting offered right now, because you don't have the media. This platform is giving you an opportunity to be on their platform. Mm-hmm. Be appreciative. Take it and let's run with it, because here's two things. What's going to happen, even if it's a smaller platform, that business person is being featured on there is going to share it. It's building up the platform for that media outlet. So now both of you are growing. When this media outlet gets big, don't you think they're going to come back to you and say, hey, I remember you when I was small. I want to bring you on because I have these, you know, tens and thousands of followers on my show. I want you to come back on. You right. gotta, you have to look at it that there's no media too small. Now, I would say every opportunity that you get, make sure it fits your brand. Mm. Don't just take any type of opportunity. If you're a caterer and you do food for people, and this media outlet only deals with animals, that's not a good opportunity for you. And I say that because that happened. Right. That happened to me. I had a caterer come to me, and I asked her, I said, did you have any, you know, media outlets, features? And she said, yeah, you know, I was featured on this podcast, and, you know, I was like, oh, what's the name of the podcast? And she told me, and I was like, does the podcast deal with animals or humans? Or she was like, you know, I didn't know until after, but I figured that, you know, I was being interviewed.
Right. That's cute.
Yes.
That is very, very
cute. Yes. Yes. I always tell that story because I was like, people don't believe me, but I'm like, yeah, that happened.
Oh, goodness, Sharon. Can you share any tips with the audience? I mean, you've already shared a wealth of wisdom, but do you have anything in particular that you would like to let the audience know you feel is important for them to understand, whether it be about media coverage, best practices, things of that sort?
First of all, have a strong online footprint. Mm-hmm. And that's talking about your social media. That's talking about your website. Mm-hmm. Make sure your messaging that you're talking about is consistent on all platforms. If you are going to pitch about something and it has nothing to do with what you have been talking about or, you know, putting on your social media, they're not going to continue to pursue you. Mm-hmm. So make sure you're consistent. Make sure that you're concise. Make sure that you have clarity. And not only that, be ready. If you're going to decide to pitch, be ready. Be ready for that interview. Be ready to make sure that you answer the questions of what they're going to ask. you know, there's nothing wrong with you getting questions in advance, mm-hmm. or asking, can I give my talking points? So you're well versed in terms of that. Not only that, know your industry. If your industry has some dicey stuff going on, but your brand is not, they may bring that up. Mm-hmm. How do you see mm-hmm. yourself different from what's going on with the other businesses within your industry? How do you shine? Mm-hmm. And know your red apples, know your uniqueness. That's where it comes up with the know your industry.
Yes.
So you follow those things and you construct a very short but tight pitch that relates to what they're talking about. You're on the right track. You're definitely on the right track. I'm not going to say each time you're going to get, you know, you're going to get a home run and they're going to pick you up. But if you are pitching to them with information that they already are familiar with, or they are they find it newsworthy, mm-hmm. do your research and, you know, and see how you can connect with their trends.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I want to talk about mm-hmm. is when you are pitching, you stay within the current times of the trend. So right now it's COVID, it's, you know, still the election,
mm-hmm.
it's still racial injustice,
mm-hmm.
Mental health. If your business falls within any one of those things, and now it's the holidays, see if you can carve your angles around that. Mm-hmm. See if you can, if your business solves a problem, that's newsworthy. If your business can cure COVID, then you're going to be a gazillionaire. Like, I mean... You will get picked up from every single media outlet possible. But there's other things. There's other things that you can do that you can show that your business can actually solve a problem. And then awareness. So there's so many things you can bring awareness to. There's a national awareness calendar that media goes to look for content.
Mm.
And then they start mm-hmm. searching on social media to see what business fits this.
Mm.
And then they start reaching out to you.
Absolutely outstanding nuggets. Really, be ready with your story, either by pitching what it is, the content that you're looking to discuss, or requesting the questions that they might be asking you up front, making sure that your digital footprint is solid, making sure yes. that it is in line with the message of your practice, and really make sure that you're, like you said, prepared. Really ready so that when they yeah. are out there looking for and going through that content calendar, that you're in line with your message, your practice will fall under those areas that they're looking for. Sharon, thank you.
No, and thank Curtis, you.
Of course. What are you working on right now? We want to know what 2021 looks like for Sharon. We're going to say goodbye to 2020 very soon.
Yes.
And I'm sure there were, yes. you know, there's a silver lining in this year. There's been a lot of changes and craziness, but what do you feel you're looking forward to in the coming new year? What projects or goals do you have coming up?
Well, I'm actually working on a couple. So one is I should be finishing my book. My book should be launching in mid-January, and it is going to be a do-it-yourself public relations book for small businesses and entrepreneurs. And I did that because a lot of people, one, cannot afford a publicist, and it is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. However, there are some do-it-yourself things, like just what I just talked about in the interview. I put those do-it-yourself things in my book. And if you don't have an opportunity to take advantage of a done-for-you, you can go through these tips. You can read it and you can go through and apply it. So that's one. So that's my book that I'm launching. Another thing is I'm going to be doing more workshops for mastermind classes for entrepreneurs that wants to be that publicist for their business.
Nice.
And, it's a 9-week mastermind class. And I want to do at least throughout the year, I want to do at least, you know, maybe 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very important. A lot of businesses feel that they're not newsworthy, and we got to change that mindset. So I'm going to be doing mastermind classes for entrepreneurs and small businesses. My book is coming out, and I'm going to be doing a lot more speaking engagement. My plate is full, which I'm happy about. And I didn't even mention, I have a women's business organization called Ladies of Third Thursday. And we meet every third Thursday. And what I'm doing is I'm expanding it. I'm expanding it to bring partners on so we can provide more resources and more opportunities for women in business so they are not left out of the opportunities for them to grow economically, socially, and also spiritually. I'm busy.
2021 sounds like you have your plate completely full. I am super excited for you. I am hoping that you will be sure to share with us a link to the book so that all of our listeners can go ahead and grab a copy when that is out. And then also a link we will make sure is on the show notes page to your mastermind group that is coming up in February. So definitely be sure to share those with us so we can share those with the audience, and I'll include those on the show notes page for the listeners. The show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up with ideas for a business in an industry that they may not be thinking of. And as you are our first public relations specialist, what we'd like to do is we, of course, want to help you as well. So we'd like to know, if you had a magic wand and could wave that magic wand and change anything at all in your business, what would it be and why? And how do you feel it would affect not only your business, but maybe your industry as a whole?
Wow, a magic wand. That wand would be, if I had that magic wand, it would be to allow publicists like myself who deals with small businesses and entrepreneurs to have media outlets, the executive producers, everybody to just open up and just see the value of what we're pitching. A publicist doesn't pitch crap. we don't. If we take on a client, that means we really believe in this service and what they're doing. And so that wand would be that, you know, once I wave it and I pitch it, they're like, okay, Sharon, yeah, let me bring your client on. Because that is, I know, that's kind of like.
I love that. You know what I'm thinking though? That's actually not a bad idea because there are similar services out there. If you think of something like Angie's List, or Craigslist. There are programs similar to that out there. And if a listener is out there who is interested in developing something of that sort, it would really be a platform to provide that direct connect between media outlets and PR reps. You know, something where PR reps could register as PR reps and media outlets could register as media, you know, representatives, and then maybe have some way for the platforms to connect what they're looking for and who's available for those pieces. So
they do have those platforms. It's so flooded. And it's just so flooded. So my magic wand will be, I reach out to Bloomberg News or to CNN with my client's pitch. They're going to automatically say, yes, Sharon, no problem. Let's schedule for your client. That's my magic wand.
I got you, girl. We need a real magic wand, people. Listen, techie community, I've had you guys working on the time machine for years. Now get on it with the magic wand because we need a real one. So,
exactly. So I know that sounds kind of selfish, but you know, I take very big pride in the people, businesses that I work with, and my clients that I work with, and I want them to shine. And you know, sometimes it's a hustle. It's a straight hustle to get them featured. And that's why I appreciate your platform, because, you know, your platform is, you know, I've heard your guests and it's informative. It's interesting. It's something that clients would love to be featured on because it shows value. And if media outlets would be just like that and just be like, oh, yeah, sure. No problem. You know, it's the magic wand.
Well, hopefully I can wave a mini one for you. How's that? Excellent. So most of the time when I have guests on, I ask them to go back 10, 15 years and think about one thing that they might have told themselves 10 or 15 years ago. But this year has been really unique. Obviously, I think with this pandemic that nobody on earth has ever lived through prior to. I'm curious now, if you could go back to December of 2019 and tell yourself this one thing, what do you think that one thing would have been?
Invest more. invest more time in me and my family, invest more in building my business and not taking things for granted. Mm-hmm. And I did that. I did that. And in 2020 put me in that different mindset to invest more with my family because life is too short. Invest in my business. I took a coach on. I took a couple of coaches on. And it put me in a position with my business that it took me longer, that had I done this before, I would be much further. So that's what I would tell myself, that, you know, don't be scared. Invest. It would pay off. And that would be some, you know, that would be my suggestion, or, you know, my thing that I would tell each of your listeners is, do not be scared. Just have that faith, be consistent, and work hard, and you'll rise to it.
Absolutely. Don't be afraid to invest in yourself. Be wise about what that investment is. Don't be taken by every coach and consultant online, but definitely being afraid to invest in yourself is an important one. Sharon, you have been outstanding. I have truly enjoyed this conversation. I thank you so much for sharing your time, your awesome energy, and your wisdom with the audience. Please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
They can find me on my website, which is netstruckpr.com, which is netstruckpr.com. And you can find me on all social medias, which is Netstruck PR. My LinkedIn page, which I love my LinkedIn page. It's my full name. It's Sharon Devenish Lead, as well as my business page, which is Netstruck PR. So once you just type in Netstruck PR, I will pop up.
Awesome.
Send me a message.
Netstruck PR. I'll be sure to include a link to your homepage on our show notes page, and we will make sure that people are capable of linking to you on social media as well. Sharon, thank you again.
Thank you. I appreciate the time. Thank you so much, Lori.
Sharon, I so enjoyed virtually meeting. Thank you again for sharing so many valuable nuggets with the community and for such kind words about the show. I truly look forward to chatting again in the very near future. Techie community, thank you guys for hanging out with us for episode number 90. Be ready. I hope you all truly enjoyed the episode with Sharon Devenish Lead. What are your plans for 2021? What kind of goals do you have? What is it you're looking forward to accomplishing this year? Reach out and let us know over at info@technology-equality.com. And be sure to reach out to Sharon over on LinkedIn at Sharon Devenish Lead, or visit her website at netstruckpr.com. I will include a link to both of those on our show notes page at technology-equality.com/Sharon Devenish Lead. Thank you once again for joining us, everyone. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share so other entrepreneurs can find the show as well. And until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions. Enjoy the week.